Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Are you ready for what the Lord wants to do in you and through you? I can't get away from what I believe the Lord wants us to take a moment and do right now before we get into everything else that He's already has in store for us the rest of the evening. So, John, where are you? If you could come up and be on the keys for us, please. You know, I feel like the Lord has something He wants to do in us, and whether that be a word or a testimony or a prophecy or word of wisdom, word of knowledge, something prophetic, or maybe it's just something He wants to minister in your heart as you sit with Him. And something that He wants to do inside of you. And I just invite you into the presence of the Lord. The reason I want John to play is, you know, music provides an atmosphere, especially when John plays to the Lord. It sets an atmosphere. And in 2 Kings, you know, Elisha, he was faced with the king of Israel and the army. They needed help, and they came to him and asked him what to do. And this was his instruction. He said, "Now bring me a musician." And while the musician played, the Lord's hand came on Elisha. Or you remember King Saul, how that he would, the prophet Samuel had told him, "You're going to go down the road and you're going to meet a school of prophets. A bunch of men are going to become in their prophets. But preceding them is going to be all these people playing instruments. And then the Lord's going to come on you and you're going to prophesy and be like another man." And so let's strip away all our preconceived ideas of how things have to be, and just let ourselves sit with the Lord. Let Him minister to you. And if there's something you feel the Lord's giving you to share with the group, you know, be bold to do so. Otherwise, let's just take some time and sit with Him. Father, we invite You by Your Holy Spirit to minister. We're asking You to have Your way. I'm asking You, Father, to have Your say. Give us eyes to see into the spirit realm, ears to hear as You would have us to hear. Bear witness with our spirit. Do those things which would please You, Lord. We just yield ourselves, our time, our energy, our everything to You and to Your way right now, Lord. And we bless You.
Church.
and for the leadership of this church to follow me, to see my face, to walk humbly before me, that I may be glorified. This church is a special church. You are special people. As you live and love and serve me with all your heart. There's much to do. This world needs to know me. The world needs to know that I love them, that I died for them, and that I have plans to move mightily in this world. Such people are bringing me into my kingdom. Where I say walk. As you walk before me, as you give me your life, I place the love in you. I place the compassion in you for people. And it shall grow. For me, I will use you finally. So be faithful, people. Be faithful.
The Holy Spirit's been speaking to me as I'm sitting there praying. And I'm saying, no, I'm not getting up yet right this time, but I have to. The words that I keep getting are, I am able. I am able. And not only am I able, but I am willing. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? There are people here today that are waiting on something. Waiting on something in their lives. Waiting for. Waiting and waiting and waiting. And what are you waiting for? If he's able and he's willing, why aren't you going to him? Why aren't you leaving those burdens at his feet? Why aren't you giving it all up to him and walking away and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing what I needed. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for making things better financially, physically, mentally, whatever it might be. Because he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you just as much as you think you're waiting for him. Because he's able and he's willing.
I just want to confirm what Troy said, because as I was sitting there praying, the word that kept coming to me is intentional. Are we being intentional in going after what the Lord wants for us? But it's one of my words that I try and live by, Troy. I try and be an intentional person. And after the sermon last week, I thought I need to be intentional about going after people and sharing the Lord to stop people going to hell. That's intentional. After home group, Eric was brilliant and spoke to us about prayer. And part of that I came away with is you've got to be intentional to put time aside for the Lord and with the Lord. That's intentional, because there's so many things that can distract us. Last night in Britain, there was the most amazing Northern Lights display. We didn't see them here because of the clouds, but my sister intentionally got up and drove to go find those lights. That's an easy thing for her to get up, but she was intentional about that. How many things do we do that are intentional because they bring us joy, but we neglect to be intentional for the Lord and to do things for the Lord with intention? So please, please do things with intention for the Lord.
Pastor Jen mentioned something when she was sharing on the offering, on giving. And one thing she mentioned was attitude. And I kept hearing attitude this past week. I shared about it, a little about it, in the home group on Thursday. Troy mentioned about waiting for something. Some of you in here are waiting for promotion. I don't know who you are. Promotion does not come from the east nor the west, north or the south. It's not based on your ability, on your giftings, how skillful you are. Promotion comes from the Lord. But the Lord is saying, where's your attitude? Your attitude will take you places, will put you in places that your giftings and your skills won't. Our attitude have to be of the attitude of Christ. Whatever we do, with a good attitude, God is waiting to promote you spiritually and naturally. Attitude. He's waiting on us. Attitude. Keep a right attitude towards God and towards the things of God, and watch God promote you.
Sitting there, this verse keeps coming back to just kept stirring up in me. It's what God's been kind of showing me, and as I hear people sharing, I'm like, wow, this is lining up a lot, actually. So it's in Mark chapter 4, 26, and the kingdom of God is like this, he said. A man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't know how. The soil produces a crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the ripe grain on the head. Your heart is a soil. The word of God is a seed. Just like the soil on the earth doesn't care what kind of seed it's put in. It doesn't care if it's a thistle. It doesn't care if it's an apple tree. It's going to produce that. The seed unlocks the potential in the soil. In the heart of man is the potential for good and evil. It's the seed that you keep putting in. But you don't have to understand how it works. You just know you have to put it in. And it will do it on its own. You don't have to focus on changing. You just have to focus putting in the Word. And the Word of God will change you. His Word will change you. But you have to be faithful in putting it in and focusing on it. You go toward what you are looking at. You have to be intentional. You have to intentionally keep putting this in and putting it in, and you would do better accidentally than you've ever done on purpose. So be faithful and just keep putting it in. And before you know it, promotion will come, because the seed will grow and produce.
Thank you for sharing those things. You know, your attitude is an expression of your faith. So if you have no faith, and you're out of faith and you're in doubt and fear, your attitude's going to represent that. It's going to show that. If you're in faith and you're confident of the victory, your attitude is going to show that. And when you fly airplanes, there's a little gauge on the dash that we especially if you're in the clouds and you can't see, you live and die by that gauge. And that gauge is called your attitude indicator. And what it does is it tells you the position that the airplane is in the air. Is it banking? Is it going up? Is it going down? It tells you the position of the aircraft. And the attitude of the aircraft will result in where it goes. Somewhere. If the attitude of the aircraft is banked to the left, well, the result is it's going to wind up somewhere off to the left. Or down or up or there so forth. So you have to constantly monitor the attitude indicator to make sure you're going where you want to go. Your attitude isn't your faith. It just expresses what's going on the inside. You can change your attitude. You do that by the spirit man on the inside. And when you realize that you are not your attitude, that can change, you can make the necessary adjustments so that your attitude indicator will show something different. You sometimes have to be intentional about it, right? You have to be on purpose. You have to put in the seed of the word. Allow it to sprout and grow so that in strength you can wind up at the destination you're supposed to be at. All right, thank you, John. I believe we can continue on, and you're welcome to keep playing, but you don't need to. Before we get into the sermon, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. You play a crucial role in our society and in our homes, and I firmly believe that, you know, the home is where this country, where it rises or falls, is based on what's happening in the home. And that's not all on the mothers. That's on the mothers and the fathers, right? It's a family unit that is needed in society today and in this house. And some of you, you know what I mean when I say, you know, you're the salt of the earth. The mothers that are there and are faithful and are praying. You know, my mom, she doesn't have all the light that we have today on some things about the gospel, but she loved the Lord. And she prayed faithfully for us. I mean, she prayed extra for me. And, you know, we left that church we were in and went to another Mennonite church that had less rules than the one I grew up in, which was cause for concern for her and for my grandmother and others in the family. And so they all spent extra time praying for me, because I seem to be headed, you know, the wrong way. They can wear T-shirts over in that church. And we chuckle about it. But the thing is those prayers didn't return void. Those prayers positioned us for when someone came and told us about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that our eyes were opened and we were ready to receive and step into some greater things the Lord had for us. And even, you know, one day my mother, she said to me shortly after we had been filled with the Spirit and made some changes in our life that she wasn't happy to see, outward changes in our dress and so forth. And she said to me, she said, you know, you're deceived. And while that stings, of course, I know that, you know, what she really wants in her heart is for me to really hit the mark with the Lord. That's what's most important to her. And so I said, well, Mom, I said, you know, you're to blame. She looked at me. I said, it was all your prayers for me. You prayed so much for me that what choice did I have but see the truth when they showed it to me? So she chuckled. I laughed. And I still thank the Lord for my mother's prayers. And that you as a mother or an aunt or a grandma or, you know, any one of you, not just the women, but your prayers can make a significant difference in someone's life. So if you have a godly mother in your life, be like, you know, in Proverbs 31, where it says that her children rise up and call her blessed. If your mother's still living, bless her. You know, call her up. Go. I like how one of the ladies here in church, I think, put it on Facebook, that if you want to bless your mom, sit with them in church. It's like, amen. I bet that blessed them. And so love on your mamas. In fact, let's take a moment. Let's pray a blessing over the mamas in this house. Lord, I thank you for every mother that's here. And Lord, I thank you that you would bless them, that your favor rests on them. Father, I ask that you would give them the desires of their heart. Even in the secret places, they long for things and speak to you about things. Father, grant those things to them. Cause them to be blessed coming in, be blessed going out. Father, be in a special way close to them, in a way that's unique to them, that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt is you, Lord. And we thank you for it. We bless them in Jesus' mighty name. And amen. Well, I'll give you an update on this past week and what we've been up to and the fun and excitement that we had. Apostle Dale and I, we flew down to Richmond and ministered there on Sunday, as I do every Sunday, that I'm at home at least. And in fact, I'll just give you an update on Richmond while we're talking about Richmond. So we're currently meeting in a hotel lobby, and the size fits us well for the current size that we are. We're usually attendance is in the 20s. And so what I would ask for you to do is to continue to pray that the Lord would bring the right people to the place that would intersect us with the right people, the people that need to hear the gospel down there, and that the foundations of what the Lord wants to do through the work there would be established and strong, and that he would be glorified by all the effort. Amen. All right, so that's how we pray for that. Anyway, we ministered there, and then we flew on down to Florida, to Brooksville, Florida. And many of you know Big Tim, we call him. And so we went down, and he picked us up at the airport. We landed around after midnight sometime. It was late. We had one stop between here and there, I guess. And we faced plenty of opposition on the week, getting there and things happening with the airplane. Suddenly, a piece of metal got lodged into the oil pressure relief valve, holding it open, and our oil pressure went really low. And, you know, it's at night, and you're flying along, and you can't see where to land on the ground if things go wrong. Now, everything was fine. It didn't turn red on us. It just went really low. And the oil temperature came up, and so you're watching it a lot, and you're thanking the Lord for his help. Well, we get down there, and it took quite some doing the next day with the mechanics to figure it out. And well, actually, they weren't figuring it out. Finally, they listened to what I told them to do and found it. It was exactly what I told them it was going to be. And they took that piece off and opened it up and turned it upside down. Oh, sure enough, it's held wide open. And they didn't think that was a likely problem, but it was the problem. So they put that back together, and then in the meantime, we ministered to Jav, and I'll come back and tell you that part. But then from there, we flew down to Venice, Florida. And apparently on the runway, when we took off, we picked up something that punctured our tire. And so when we landed into Venice, the front tire is flat. And that'll really get your attention when you're landing, and suddenly everything is vibrating and shaking and trying to run off the runway, and you're keeping it all together right there, you know. And so they had to come out and rescue us and pull us off the runway, and it closed down the runway for a while, you know, until they could get us off of it, and they fixed the tire. Everything's good to go. My point is there was unusual things that were happening on the whole trip, things that were not normal. Right? And I just chalked it up to some of the opposition. You know, the enemy has really made an attack on Javin's life, on his ministry, and they've still been at a loss to try to figure out what it is he's dealing with. He went from a healthy young man of 35 years old to some days being completely paralyzed. And then they, you know, try all kinds of things, and his body responds to some things, not to others. Then he's allergic to the things that it responded to earlier. So they just had this yo-yo back and forth and back and forth. And early on, when this all happened months ago, I had, let's see, when did that all happen? I suppose in February, middle of February maybe. And at the end of February is when Pastor Kurt and I went to Turkey. Well, leading up to that, I kept having it come up in my heart as a thought, really, that you should go down and lay hands on him and pray for him. And I just dismiss it because he already has 100 different people laying hands on him and praying for him and people praying in faith. And who do you think you are? Why should you go? You know. And so I just kind of dismiss the thought. And after a while, it comes back again. And well, you know, I don't have no time. I got to go to Iraq. The Lord's sending me there. I mean, Iraq, Turkey. And so maybe I'll go when I come back from Turkey. I'll pray about it at that point, and we'll see. And go to Turkey. Well, while I'm in Turkey, so he takes a turn for the better, and things are looking good enough that they send him home. But they put him on a medication that shuts his immune system down, right? And so now he cannot see anyone. They're not receiving any visitors whatsoever. Well, that he responded really well to that medication until he became allergic to it, and so now they couldn't give him that medication anymore. But so now he's doing better, plus he can't see visitors. I come home and I go, okay, well, I guess I didn't need to go down. Hallelujah, he's better, you know. And about the time that he gets worse again, now I'm leaving for Iraq. And again, that nudge is there. I should maybe go down there, and well, I really have no time to go, so I'll just pray for him, you know, and I'll from where I'm at. Paul said there's no distance in the spirit. And I go to Iraq, and while I'm in Iraq, you know, he's better. Well, hallelujah, see, I don't need to go. Well, I get home, and it just came up in my heart again. So I went before the Lord, and I said, Lord, do you want me to go down there? You know, what's this about? And while I was praying, sitting in my office chair like this, had my eyes shut, and I felt like in the spirit I saw the Lord come stand in front of me, and he put a finger in each one of my hands. My hands began to burn so much that I opened my eyes to look at my hands to see what's wrong with my hands, right? And the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to go down and lay hands on him and raise him up. Okay, all right, away we're going. We're going to leave tomorrow. And so Dale and I, we fly down there, and on Sunday night. On Monday, we spent all day with Stephen and Donna and with Tim and his wife. Had a wonderful time encouraging them, being encouraged, and just a really wonderful time with them. You know, Mama and Daddy, they've been going through it because this is their son. This is their baby, and you know, it's been snarling up his ministry as well as holding Stephen and Donna from going off to their ministry because they're there taking care of him. And so it's just affecting all kinds of things around the world. And as you know, the very first time we heard about it, the thing that the Lord showed me immediately was it was a demonic attack on him and his ministry. And so Tuesday morning, we go over to see Javin, and but before we did that, they decided, let's meet for breakfast with everyone at a place called the Florida Cracker. And it's like renowned for being really good, I guess. Well, the night before, I'm in the shower. We've already made plans to go meet over there at 7 a.m. And I'm in the shower, and the Lord says, I want you to fast tomorrow morning and not eat, but order a cinnamon roll to go. I'm like, fast? But okay, I guess the consolation prize is a cinnamon roll. All right, I get to eat later. Thank you, Lord. And then I think, well, do they even have cinnamon rolls? I mean, not like most restaurants don't have cinnamon rolls, right? And I have not seen a menu. I have no clue about this place. Don't know anything about it. And I'm like, well, I guess tomorrow morning we'll find out soon enough if I'm hearing from the Lord. And we come in there and we sit down, and I open up a menu to look for cinnamon rolls, and lo and behold, the first big thing on the menu page is their cinnamon rolls. And I guess they're world-renowned for cinnamon rolls, and or at least regionally renowned, let's put it that way. They have maybe 6 restaurants. And I'm like, okay, that was you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'll order the cinnamon roll to go and enjoy it later. And we're sitting there and we're talking and we're fellowshipping and I'm getting ready to pay the bill. And the Lord says to me on the inside, that still small voice, he says, that cinnamon roll isn't for you, it's for Javin. And I thought, well, maybe he doesn't even like cinnamon rolls, Lord. I'll text him. So I text him, hey, Javin, do you like cinnamon rolls? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And so I'm like, okay, I'll bring you some. So I'm like, well, I can't go over there with just one. I need to take two of them, right? So I order another one, and now we got two of them to go. They're huge. I mean, one would be enough, but, you know, you don't go into a house with two people with one cinnamon roll. That's just not right. His wife's name's Caitlin. And so we show up over there, and we come in, we sit down, and I give them the cinnamon rolls. They give us some coffee. That seems like a good trade to me. And then I tell them this. I just said, look, I want you to know what the cinnamon rolls are about. And I told them the story I just told you. And I said, the Lord cares about even little things like cinnamon rolls and that you would have a cinnamon roll. And if he cares about that, certainly he cares about this big thing that you're dealing with, and that's your health. And so I proceed to tell them what the Lord showed me, what I should do, and why I'm here. And in the meantime, I'm looking at Javin talking, and Caitlin's sitting beside him, and she's got like tears and everything going on over there. And so I finally said, all right, Caitlin, I can't look at you because all that emotion on your face is affecting me. I'll just look at Javin, and I'm still talking. And she goes, no, you don't understand. So what don't I understand? She said, well, I'm still trying to get over the cinnamon rolls. I said, well, explain. She says, well, what you don't know is Javin's thing is cinnamon rolls. Everywhere we go in the world, and she lists like, I think, six different countries that we've been, he always will find the ingredients to make cinnamon rolls for the whole team. That's his thing. The whole team knows it. He's going to find a way to make cinnamon rolls. Doesn't matter if he's in the jungle. He's making cinnamon rolls. I had no idea, right? I'd never heard of any of that before. But the Lord knew. And the Lord wanted to confirm to them that it's me. We're here for a reason, right? And so we did. We laid hands on him, anointed him, and had a time of worship together. Just had a wonderful time together. And we leave and fly down to Venice in the flat tire incident, right? Well, by that night, he's taken like a huge turn for the worse and is back in the hospital, and took him to a new hospital. And like he had gone from, he was able to stand up at his walker, and was lifting his hands and things like that. Well, by that evening, he could no longer even lift his hands. They were all swelled. His arms were swelled up, and things had just taken a huge turn for the worse again. And so I tell you all of that to just simply say, let's continue to stand, because, you know, Jesus didn't die on the cross for nothing. He finished the rite for healing at the cross. By his wounds, we are healed. We took authority over a demonic attack. And as far as demonic attacks go, I mean, they've had, because of the work they're doing evangelistically in the community, they have had all kinds of hexes put on them, witches, different things come, put things in their yard. So it's been a real thing that they're facing against. But thank God we have the name of Jesus that triumphs over anything a witch has available to them. Anyway, so all that being said is, you know, when you make a bold stand, and you step out in faith. Think of the Israelites when they go to leave Egypt, and they make this bold stand. We're going to go out to the desert, and we're going to worship the Lord. And what's the next thing that happens? Pharaoh and his army, a big mountain, water, we're cornered, we can't get away. This looks a whole lot worse than what we had going on back there. This is certain death. In fact, the children of Israel start saying, Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. And of course, you know the story. The Lord made a way through the Red Sea, and that way ended up being the destruction of the enemy that was coming against them. And we can look at story after story after story after story that's just like that, where you make a bold declaration of faith and the enemy tries to come in, even to the point of when Jesus would cast out devils, right? Cast the devil out, what's the first thing that happened? Oh, the thing would rend them, tear them until they shriek and fall down like they're dead. Well, that's worse, not better. But standing in his authority, the thing left, and they were better. And so we're not backing off of it. The Lord didn't send me down there for nothing. Jesus didn't die on the cross for nothing. So we're going to stand on that. And when you think of them, just lift them up in prayer that the Lord would strengthen them in faith, in strength, in health. And all of this is going to end up going into one of his books one day. And hallelujah, be a testimony. Amen? All right. Now, are you ready for the sermon now that it's time to close? Oh, hallelujah. 7:21. You know, the sermon can wait until next week. I want to just encourage you to be bold in your faith. That little inkling you get on the inside, some people call it an inkling, a hunch, that little seams, pay attention to those things. The Lord wants to do. It had been so easy for me in that shower to just ignore that you should fast tomorrow. Just that still small whisper. It had been so easy for me to just ignore that bit about this was for Javin. Oh, with all the things he's going through, I'm sure he's on some strict diet, so surely not. And I'll just eat it. You know, it'd be so easy to ignore these things. And when you follow just those little nudges and those promptings and those knowings, because really sometimes it's more of a knowing just drops on the inside like a thought, more than what you're hearing, voices or something spooky, you know. And when you go with those, we don't always know the outcome. Sometimes we follow those hunches and we never see, I call it a hunch, we follow the Holy Spirit, and we never see the outcome, the miraculous outcome. They told us a story, Donna did, Stephen and Donna, of how that she was pregnant with our friend Stephen from Iraq. And he was not, Steve was not a believer. She was a brand new believer. And they were down in Virginia Beach, and he's in the Air Force. And she had gone to a Bible study and had prayed the prayer of salvation. And then this pastor was a weird one. I mean, like he would show up and the Lord would tell him to say something to her, and he wouldn't. He'd sit there. Well, for example, he called them and wanted to know if he could come over and see him. So he comes over and he sits on the couch with them, and he sits there for a good 15 or 20 minutes without saying a word. He just sits there in silence with them. Just looking around, sitting there in silence. They were like, man, it was awkward. And finally, he delivers like the one line. This is what the Lord wanted me to tell you. Delivers the one line. And then just sits there for another, you know, 20 minutes in silence before he gets up and leaves. He was just that kind of weird, you know. And so they were like, this pastor comes over to their house again. And a friend had come to see her, and he came with the friend. The friend was getting ready to move out of town, and that friend was the one that had led her to the Lord. And so she came to tell Donna goodbye, and the pastor comes along. And the pastor says to her, he says, I'm just here to tell you, go to Bible study tonight. And anyhow, they go on talking, and you know, 5 minutes later, he's like, look, the only thing I came to tell you is go to Bible study tonight. And they go on talking. This goes on until the whole time he was there, that was the only thing he said the entire time, but he said it probably 8 times, she said. I'm just telling you, go to Bible study tonight. So he leaves, and she's like, huh, yeah, Bible study. Well, they were planning on going to a party that night. And so after a while, Steve comes home, and she's like, well, maybe we should go to Bible study tonight. He's like, Bible study? What do you mean? We've been planning on going to this party with our friends so-and-so, and this has been planned for a while. And yeah. And so they're not going to Bible study, right? They're going to the party. Well, they leave their house and drive down the street, and you come to a light where you can go right to go to the Bible study or left to go to the party. And they get in the left-hand lane and go through that light, and on just on the other side of the light, it's like a high-speed light. Someone pulls out in front of them, and they hit them, and like horrific accident. He has people in the back seat, them two. She's pregnant with Stephen, and multiples of them almost died. I mean, like I'm saying, their scalp, their skin's hanging off, her face is completely bashed in, and the baby is, they're claiming the baby's going to die. I mean, they have blood everywhere. They are all mangled and broken up and ribs and bones and you name it. It's a bad accident. If they'd have went right to Bible study, they'd have missed all of that. They had always wondered what that was about, never knowing what they were spared from, right? We went to Bible study. In fact, probably 6 months later, they wouldn't even remember the story. Remember that weird pastor that told us to go to Bible study like 8 times? And if no one goes and tells the pastor the story, he was just obeying the Lord. The Lord was telling him, dealing with him real strong, tell him to go to Bible study. And he delivers the word, but then he doesn't know the other side of the story, right? What was that all about, Lord? They went to Bible study, and it's not like Steve got born again or anything happened. What was that about, Lord? Did I miss it? See, follow those inner witnesses. Because when we pray Psalms 91 over ourselves and over you and over, you know, each other, we believe Psalms 91 for protection. But if we pray for protection and then we ignore the warnings, that is your protection, right? And so always pay attention to that witness on the inside. Is there anything I should know about today, Lord? Is there anything I should know about this trip? Is there any, you know, and so forth. And recognize that the Lord wants to lead you beside the still waters. He wants to take you into the green pastures. And in the valley of the shadow of death, He'll marshal you right out of there and then set a table in the presence of your enemies. That'll chap the enemies off good. I mean, they're right there. It says in their presence. It's like, watch this, enemy. I'm going to bless them good. See? The good stuff. The fat of the land. The cinnamon. Yeah, the cinnamon rolls. Yeah, that's right. You know, right in the face of what he's dealing with, God just smiles at them and says, see, I love you. Sends them cinnamon rolls. Worship team, come. I know that wasn't a message full of the word like you normally hear, but it was still full of the word. It didn't have scripture and verse attached to it. You'll have to come back next week to hear one of those.
So earlier this week while I was at work, I just got the nudging to pray for Javin and for you. And then I was listening to, I was praying for it in this, I've been listening to Terry Mize. He's talking about 5 smooth stones. He's talking about David's stones, right? And he says, he asked God years ago, he said, well, what are these 5 smooth stones, right? And he says, these 5 smooth stones are the blood, the covenant, the name, the word, and the Holy Spirit, right? So he's talking about how to win, right? He said, when we do this, we use this, right? We all use this when we have a problem. But how do you win? It's like, okay, we use it, we're done, right? No. He said, use it until you win. It's not a 9-inning ball game. You keep using it over and over and over until you win. And I was like, this is exactly what, when, what's the name from?
Javin?
Pastor Kirk. When he came here, he was talking about how he had that same problem. He set a clock. So until he won, he kept going over and over until he won, right? So Terry Mize is talking about it. He gives an example. He's in a jungle and the baby died. He prayed for the parents. Parents get saved and this baby's dead. And they're like, are the baby's dead? And he's like, no. I have authority here. The baby's not dead. He held the baby for 12 hours until the baby, he came back to life. And this baby is 40-some years old, doing miracles right now, right? So what did he do? What if he stopped at 10 hours, 11 hours, and didn't work?
That's right.
So that's right. I don't know if it was for Javin or for somebody here, but...
Yeah, that's encouraging.
Keep going until you win.
That's right. That's right. Do not accept defeat because we've been given the victory. It's ours. Stand up with me if you would.
Can I share 2 little things?
Yeah.
One thing, if it's all right. What did you have waiting for you when you came here tonight?
Like, what do you call them? Sticky bun.
Cinnamon roll.
Yeah, cinnamon roll. Yeah.
So that just kind of ties in.
Yes.
The other thing, you know, some of you know that I was like seeing double and I had to get these special glasses that were correcting my eyes and they said, oh, in 5 or 6 months, maybe they'll return. This week I woke up and my eyes were almost normal. So, not quite, but it's worse wearing the glasses than it is not wearing the glasses. So that's a happy thing for me. So I can look out and I'm not like seeing double of you like before. Maybe a little bit of a shadow, so just agree with me for the rest of it. But that's very exciting to me. And I was thinking, I was glad I got you some cinnamon rolls. So.
Let's take a moment and we're going to pray. You know, if the Lord sent me down there and told me to lay hands on him and raise him up, then that's what the Lord intends. That's his plan, that's his purpose. And we know just from reading the Bible that it's not God's purpose that he be sick and an invalid, and that the Lord has healed him. So what I would like to do right now is let's pray, let's intercede, let's go to war on his behalf. Let's fight from the place of victory that the Lord has given to us. He's already established it. Let's enforce it with our prayer, with our mouth, with our praise. And what that's going to look like, let's pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. And when something comes to you personally to pray out in English, then just go ahead and just pray it out. And between you and the Lord, and pray it out, and then switch back over. Pray in the Spirit, in tongues, until something else comes to you, and then pray that out. And eventually, I'll close, and I'll pray in English. I'll close that way. But here in 1 Corinthians 14, the reason I'm asking you to pray this particular way is it says the person who speaks or prays in a tongue is not speaking to people but to God, since no one understands him. He speaks mysteries in the Spirit. Well, we know that God is the only one who understands it. If we're praying from your born-again Spirit in tongues, you're not going to pray a selfish prayer. You're going to pray out the thing that is in line with God's will in regards to this situation. And then if something starts to come to your awareness, pray that out deliberately in English. And then switch back over, and let's just pray in tongues again. If you don't know how to pray in tongues, well then ask the Lord, how should I pray it in English? And then you pray. And let's pray specifically that the power of God would enter his body, that his cells will respond to that. If something comes to you in particular to declare, to take authority over, just do that in the name of Jesus. Speak to the situation. And Paul was able to pray and bind things in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 5, and he wasn't even in the location. He said there's no distance in that Spirit. Well, we went down, we're there physically, as the Lord instructed us, so now let's see it through. Let's stand in faith that the Word says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It doesn't say maybe, it doesn't say possibly, it doesn't say hopefully, it says they will. All right? So it's already guaranteed and assured to us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your promises that they're all yes and amen in the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are a keeper of your word, that you've given us these precious promises. You've said that if we lay hands on the sick, they would recover. And Father, on May 7th, I laid hands on Javin, and he is now considered the recovered of the Lord according to your word. And let's just thank him for keeping his promise. Let's thank him. You know, in Mark 11, it says that if you believe you have received, past tense, it will be yours. So let's just receive it right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that Javin is the healed of the Lord. I thank you, Father, that he walks and runs. I thank you that he's in strength and health. I thank you that he has fully recovered in the name of Jesus. I bless you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that everything the enemy meant to steal is now returned to them sevenfold. I thank you, Lord, that he never again will need to use a walker or wheelchair. I thank you, Lord, that he is able to move freely, that he is able to lift his hands and bless you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've done this in his body. I thank you that you've promised that you will never leave him or forsake him. I thank you, Lord, that your word is sure and true and a solid foundation, and that you watch over it to accomplish it. You're amazing, Lord. Thank you for doing that to him. Thank you for providing a way on the cross. Thank you that by your wounds you healed Javan, and he is whole and complete and healthy in every way. Every bill paid, every need met, every decision already prepared for. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, we thank you and bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is finished in the name of Jesus. He is the healed of the Lord. He will live and not die. He will declare the works of the Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the victory that you have already put in motion. I thank you, Lord, that it has been signed, sealed, and delivered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You said it, I believe it. You said it, that settles it. You said it, that settles it. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He is now the recovered. I thank you, Lord. You are so faithful to watch over your word to accomplish it. You are the one that does the miracles. You are the one that brings the life and health. You are the one who watches for your children to take you at your word and to step out on the water on it. You are the one, Lord, and we bless you for it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I bless you, Father. You are worthy of all my praise. Yeah, you're worthy of all of our praise that we can give you. You are so good to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I lift up these people to you. And every need, whatever need you have in the house right now tonight, you think about this need, whatever it is, the Lord knows your thoughts. I call these needs into the physical realm fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. You said that where two or three are gathered together, that anything we would ask for, you would do it. And so now, Lord, we release these needs to you. We thank you that they are met, that every bill is paid, every person's walking in health and strength, every person is walking free of bondage, is free of these things that would hinder us. And I thank you, Lord, because you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I declare freedom in this house tonight in Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're free. You're free. You're healed. You're blessed. You're the head and not the tail. You're the recovered of the Lord. Well, love on one another as you go. Take time to minister to each other.
Lord, I think you heard me anyway, right? But I'd like to encourage you, all of us tonight, in the Word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not changed by culture, man's opinion. And it's a book of encouragement, isn't it? Especially the book of Psalms. And in Psalms 34, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me of all my fears. I love that. There's so many alls in this Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There's no want to those who fear him, reverence him. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. and delivers them from all their trouble. He is near to the brokenhearted and saves those with a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. There's that all-in-all God that we serve. Hallelujah. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to praise Him for. So let's all stand up together tonight and posture our hearts with a thankful heart to the Father who is so good, so faithful. Let's celebrate His presence here tonight.
Oh, Lord, You're my shepherd. You make me lie in fields of green. You lead me by the still water. You restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing. For You are with, so I'll live my life wholehearted, surrender to Your will, surrender to Your will. Last time, surrender to Your will. Surrender to You, Lord.
Empty plan that You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And He came and was born of a Virgin Mary. He lived on the earth, giving the gospel, teaching and preaching, then suffered, died, was crucified on the cross. But on that third day, He rose again. He's alive. And we thank You for that beautiful redemption plan. And He ascended into heaven. And He's now seated at the right hand of You, Father, ever interceding as our High Priest and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are so grateful tonight, Father. And as we have gathered, we ask that You prepare our hearts to receive the good word of God, a word that will change our lives forever. We're so grateful for the presence of the Holy Spirit to help us in our journey home. And we give You all the praise and glory for what You're doing, what You've done, what You're doing, and what You yet to do in each one of our lives and collectively as a body. We give You all the praise and glory for tonight. For You, Jesus, You are so worthy of it. Let's just give Him a great big hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, one way we love God is by loving one another. So reach out to the children. Get out, talk to somebody. Tell them thank you for coming tonight. And the children may be released. And we bless the teachers and thank them for what they do in their lives. Amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. How is everybody? Do we have anyone here that's here for the very first time? We always like to welcome our guests here in this house. Anyone first time at Church of the Word International? All right. Well, we're going to prepare to return the tithe to the Lord. So if you need an envelope for your cash giving, you can raise your hand and our ushers will bring you one. And as always, we appreciate all the blanks filled out for credit cards. You can turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2, but we also are going to look at something in Leviticus. You know, bringing the Lord an offering, well, bringing the Lord an offering or tithing, it's a matter of honor. It really is. And we can't, you know, you could bring the Lord an offering or a tithe and it not be from a heart of love and honor. But when you honor the Lord there will be a heart to give tithes and give offerings, or return the tithe and give offerings. That you can't separate. You can do one on the other side and it not be from a heart that is trying to honor the Lord. But, as I said, when you honor the Lord, that is there to be demonstrated. And so I wanted to bring out that the Lord considers his offerings very important. He considers it very weighty. And if he does, then so should we. Amen? You know, in fact, he says it's holy in one place in Leviticus. He talks about it being holy. And if you need a New Testament scripture, how about in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul is commending the Philippian people for the financial gifts they sent him. And he says, this is a fragrant offering. He refers to it as a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to the Lord. The Lord is saying, this is good. This is good. This pleases me. This honors me. And, you know, there's other places. There's other places in the Word. Well, look at, I just want to show you in Leviticus, I think it's chapter 22, verse 1, what he said. The Lord said this to Moses. In verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to treat with respect the sacred offerings the Israelites consecrate to me, so they will not profane my holy name. I am the Lord. I don't think the Lord has changed from that. He's still the Lord. He still considers his offerings holy. He still wants his ministers and his people to treat his things as holy, in particular, the offerings. Verse 9 of that same chapter says, the priests are to perform my service in such a way that they do not become guilty and die for treating it with contempt. I am the Lord who makes them holy. And so I'm just bringing out that the Lord makes a big deal about it. The Lord, I mean, even the attitude with which we treat his offerings on the minister's side is of tremendous importance to him. And it's in the New Testament too. You know, think of Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, did he consider it important the way the attitude they come in with an offering? You know, it wasn't a trifling matter. You can see that in 2 Corinthians. I bring this up because the reason that we teach every week on offerings is because it's important. We're not going to have a box in the back that just says, you know, hey, you know, it's there and we're not really looking at it. But, you know, if you feel, you know, like you want to, sort of like we're embarrassed about it, that's not going to be here because this is the Word. And just the same as we're going to teach worship of the Lord, we're going to teach this. You know, it is about worship. It's about love. It's about obedience to the Lord. And, I know that in some churches it's like, well, you know, we are putting a poll for money if you talk about it. And there's almost like a hesitation to talk about it. Why? I mean, is that reducing what the Lord considers holy and of great and utmost importance to him, demonstrating honor to him, is that reducing it to some trifling thing, almost like, well, we really don't want to mention this? We're not, you know, it's not honoring. And so that's why we're bold to speak about it and to teach about it, because we teach the whole Word. Amen. And we want to honor the Lord. And if the Lord considers it a big deal to him, then it's a big deal to us. So I want to read in 1 Samuel chapter 2. I had to go there. I want you to see something. It said, we're talking about honoring the Lord and the offerings being considered weighty and important to the Lord. It says in verse 12, Eli's sons were scoundrels. Ooh. They had no regard for the Lord. Now look at how they demonstrated no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priest that whenever any of the people offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand while the meat was being boiled, and would plunge the fork into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. Whatever the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, See, the fat belonged to the Lord. In Leviticus, it talks about the fat belongs to the Lord, all right? And so they were, before even the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the person who was sacrificing, give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw. See, they wanted that fat portion too. It was good. If the person said to him, let the fat be burned first, and then take whatever you want, the servant would answer, no, hand it over now, and if you don't, I'll take it by force. Now look at verse 17. It says, the sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. So can you see that? Just even the way they were handling the Lord's ministers. I mean, we have a responsibility. We don't treat the offerings as a trifling matter. And it's important to him. He called it a very great sin, their contempt, their lack of honor to that. And like I already mentioned, the fat portions, if you study this out, you will see that the Lord had a particular way that they were to do the offerings, the way they were to bring them, the way the priests were to handle them. And one thing was very clear was the fat portions belonged to the Lord. Anybody remember Abel's offering? Why was the Lord so pleased with his? Because he brought the fat portions. He mentions that. And thinking of the fat portions, Adele, I had to think of her studying this, because she loves her fat portions. You know, I want to trim that stuff off, and it's like, oh, no, she's got this, you know, she loves the fat portions. It's the choice parts. It's the flavor. It's the best. Are you catching something about the heart of God when it comes to offerings? He said, the fat belongs to me. And what were they doing? They were robbing the Lord from that. They were taking that for themselves. And so Eli, I'm just skimming over this. We're not going to read it all, but, you know, Eli hears about this, and what did he say to his boys? Well, boys, you know, that why'd you do that? That's not very nice. That's naughty, boys. I mean, you really should do better, you know? That's weak. That's not good parenting. Now, I know these were adult men, but I don't think he just woke up one day and behaved that way. Probably that was a pattern. And judgment came. He didn't remove them. He should have scolded them. And then, you know what? Out of honor for his heart, for the Lord, removed them. No, sorry. This isn't how we treat the Lord's things. See, it comes back to the honor in the heart. So in verse 29, it says, so that the man, well, actually backing up, I'm just trying to not take too long here. It says, the man of God came to Eli and he spoke judgment to him. It was a word of the Lord. And he began to say, you know, that he chose his ancestor. And, you know, I had planned for this to be your, you know, for you to always be in doing this in my house. And he says, verse 29, why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribe for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? So he's speaking judgment over him, over his house. And he says in verse 30, therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that the members of your family would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Ain't happening. What are you saying? It's done. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. In other words, you count my things trifling. You despise me and my offerings, and you don't count them as holy. Well, then you're going to be lightly esteemed. But those that honor me, I will honor. The Lord wants you to know he would honor you. He would honor us. And so all of that to say that the Lord hasn't changed. If he would have this view of the offerings and the tithes and the way we handle his holy things and his gifts, if this is a big deal to him, then it's a big deal now. And if he would honor them then, and for the way they honored him, same way now. If you'll honor the Lord, if you'll bring him a heart of love and honor and not treat his things with a trifling attitude, he will do that for you. So All right, take a hold of your tithes or your offering. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we want to honor you tonight. And Lord, I thank you so much for the way that you've honored us time and time again. You've honored us with your presence. You've honored us by confirming your word, by your faithfulness, by your goodness. And Lord, I just ask that you open our hearts for increased revelation concerning honoring you. Show us how to come up in the area of honor. Show us what it means to count your things as holy, count your things as weighty. And Lord, we will walk in it. We will follow you. We will treat your things the way you want them treated, as you show us. And so I thank you, Lord, that you bless the people. You bless and prosper these tithers according to your word. In Jesus' name, and amen. The ushers can pass the baskets, and the people will give to the Lord. You know, so that's what it's about. You know, don't get your eyes off and onto people. It's to the Lord. You get your eyes on, you know, the natural back and forth, because you know it's we live in a natural world. It is going horizontal, but you got to remember it's this way. It's in the heart. All right. Well, if you have a bulletin, let's look at that. We have a fun opportunity to support our youth. I know you maybe have seen the tables in the lobby with the sign-up sheets. We have a mystery supper being planned. It's a jungle-themed mystery supper that will be put on by the youth, and it is to raise funds for their upcoming mission trip in December. It says, come experience a dinner like no other where you're not quite sure what you ordered until it shows up on the table. Okay. Says it's going to be wild. Says approved by the king of the jungle. And I wondered, well, who's the king of the jungle? And, okay. So, it's going to be a roaring good time. John, I need some help. Where's? I better stop there. Anyway, so it's going to be a silent auction running through the month of May. The five highest bidders will be notified. So take a look at that in the back lobby. It's going to be held at the Schumann home on Friday, July 16th. Also, we're collecting diapers and wipes for babies in the Lancaster area. So maybe you saw a collection of that in the back lobby. That's what that's about. You can put them in the basket. And the landmark, as you see a little blurb here, we've got the dates for the Armada landmark coming up. So mark your calendars. You know, it's always been a life-changing, God-filled week for us. And I know that he'll do the same for you too. So plan on coming out and receiving from the Lord that week.